Welcome to the Rapid Learning Center's audio tutorial, Introduction to AP Physics B. By listening to this audio tutorial, you will learn about what AP Physics is, also what the AP exam is, the differences between AP Physics B and AP Physics C, the AP Physics B exam content outline, how to study AP Physics, as well as AP test prep strategies, and finally, AP exam taking strategies. The AP Physics Concept Map. AP Physics includes studies on Newtonian mechanics, electricity, and magnetism. And by taking the exam, it allows you to earn college credit. College credit is based on the score of the AP exam, as well as the college you attend. Using the exam-taking tips and strategies in this tutorial, you can improve your chances of gaining a higher score. Also, throughout this tutorial, we'll discuss core materials such as kinematics, magnetism, electricity, and fluid mechanics. Let's begin by discussing what AP Physics is. Advanced Placement, or AP Physics, is a college general physics course offered to high school students. An exam is taken at the end to obtain college credit. The AP Physics exam. It's a cumulative exam given in May each year. Scores range from 1 to 5, 5 being the highest. Colleges decide how much credit is given for each score in each subject. Two portions of the AP Physics exam are number 1, Physics B. This exam is 3 hours long in total, with 70 multiple choice questions for 90 minutes and 7 free response questions for 90 minutes. Number 2, Physics C. Physics C is made up of 2 exams, one on mechanics and the other on electricity and magnetics. Both of these 2 exams are 90 minutes long, 45 minutes for multiple choice questions, and 45 minutes for free response. The scope of the exam. When the exam is prepared, it's understood that due to variations in teaching style, each student will not know everything on the subject. Therefore, the questions are written over each topic, and as such, the examiners do not expect that any one student will know all the answers. Now let's review the types of questions on the AP Physics exam. There are 2 types of questions, multiple choice and free response. There are 70 multiple choice questions which test conceptual understanding, and they must be completed in 90 minutes. The information for the question may be in a paragraph, table, or figure, and each question will have 5 possible answer choices. The exam also includes free response questions. These are printed in a separate booklet. The free response question may ask for a written response, an interpretation of a result, or to derive an expression based on the information presented. There are usually 6 to 7 free response questions to be completed in 90 minutes. Now let's discuss specifically the differences between AP Physics B and AP Physics C. Course objectives. The Category A course provides the conceptual framework required for the problem solving and deep physics concepts in the Category B and C courses. As such, the Category A course is a good basis for the more advanced and in-depth Category B and C. The AP Physics B is geared towards people majoring in the life sciences. Students who wish to pursue an education in life sciences, medicine, or geology. AP Physics C is geared towards people majoring in physical sciences or engineering. Along with earning credit towards this path of education, students would also benefit from the AP Calculus course. The Physics B exam covers the following topics: mechanics, electricity and magnetism, fluid mechanics and thermal physics, waves and optics, atomic and nuclear physics. And the results of the exam are reported as a single grade between 1 and 5. The two Physics C exams are divided into mechanics, and the other covers electricity and magnetism. These exams can be taken separately, and separate grades are reported. There are fewer topics covered in the Physics C exams as compared to Physics B. However, the Physics C exams are more in-depth and typically more difficult. Now let's move on to discuss the AP Physics B exam content. First, kinematics. Kinematics is the branch of classical mechanics that includes a mathematical description of motion without any reference to the cause. The following are key aspects of kinematics and object motion. A vector. A vector is a quantity that has magnitude, size, and direction. An example would be velocity or acceleration. Motion in one direction is described in terms of displacement, time, velocity, and acceleration. Principles that have a major impact on studying object motion are Newton's laws. Newton's first law. Newton's first law states that every object continues in a state of rest or uniform motion in a straight line unless it's acted upon by an outside force or inertia. Newton's second law. The acceleration of an object is directly proportional to the net force and inversely proportional to the mass. And Newton's third law. For every force, there is an equal and opposite force. Work, energy, and power in physics. In physics, work is defined as the amount of energy transferred by a force through a distance. Kinetic energy. Kinetic energy is the energy an object possesses because of its motion, and it's measured in joules. The equation to calculate kinetic energy is E subscript k equals 1/2 mv squared. Where E subscript k is the kinetic energy, m is the mass of the body, and v is the speed of the object. In physics, power is the rate at which work is performed for a given time. And power is calculated with the following equation. P equals W divided by T, or in other words, P equals work divided by time. Here's a review question based on what you've learned so far in this tutorial. Question: what are Newton's laws? Answer: Isaac Newton developed three laws. Newton's first law states that every object continues in a state of rest or uniform motion in a straight line unless it's acted upon by an outside force. Newton's second law: the acceleration of an object is directly proportional to the net force and inversely proportional to the mass. And Newton's third law: for every force, there's an equal and opposite force. Circular motion, rotation. Circular motion. Circular motion is rotation around a circular path or orbit. It can be uniform or non-uniform with a change in the rate of rotation. Torque, or tau, is the rate of change of an object's angular momentum, and it's equal to the torque acting on it. Here's a kinematics multiple choice question. A car falls off a cliff 125 meters high. It lands 100 meters from the bottom of the cliff. Question: how fast was the car going as it rolled off the cliff? The possible answers are A, 10 meters per second, B, 20 meters per second, C, 25 meters per second, D, 50 meters per second, or E, 125 meters per second. To solve this, you must calculate the initial speed of the car by using the equation describing the horizontal motion of the car, i.e. x equals vox times time. Vox equals 100. The y component of this problem is 125 to the minus 1 gt2. The ground is y equals 0, therefore vox equals 100 divided by 5, which equals 20 meters per second. This is the velocity in the x direction or horizontal direction. Fluid mechanics. Fluid mechanics is a study of how fluids, including liquids and gases, move and the forces that act on them. The study of fluid motion can be divided into fluids at rest or static and dynamic motion. Buoyancy is the upward force that keeps objects afloat. The net upward force is equal to the weight of water or fluid displaced by the object. Electricity and magnetism is another major theme of the physics exams. Electrostatics is the study of stationary or slowly moving electric charges. In this study, Coulomb's law is a mathematical description of the electrical force between objects. Gauss's law relates the distribution of electric charge and the resulting electric field. The electric flux through an area is defined as the electric field multiplied by the area perpendicular to the field. Electromagnetism. Electromagnetism is the study of an electromagnetic field which exerts a force on particles, an electric charge. There are a number of terms and laws associated with electromagnetism, including 1. Permittivity. 2. Faraday's law, which states that the induced EMF or electromotive force in a closed circuit is equal to the time rate of change of magnetic flux through the circuit. 3. Tesla. 4. Volt. And 5. Farad. Here's another review question. Question: define buoyancy. Answer: buoyancy is the upward force that keeps objects afloat. The net upward force is equal to the weight of water or fluid displaced by the object. Now let's move on to discuss waves, optics, and atomic physics. Wave motion. A wave is a periodic disturbance through which the sound or water wave travels. Waves can lead to reflection, refraction, interference, and dispersion. Examples of waves include sound waves, radio waves, ocean surface waves, and seismic waves in earthquakes. Wave propagation is the ways or directions the wave travels. A standing wave occurs when there is reflection and interference. The standing wave remains in constant position because the medium is moving in the opposite direction as the wave. Optics. The study of the behavior and properties of light is known as optics. Optic equipment includes mirrors, lenses, telescopes, lasers, and fiber optics. When light breaks into its component parts, it's known as diffraction. The reflection of light can occur from glossy surfaces such as a mirror, or diffuse from surfaces such as glossy paint on a wall. The electromagnetic spectrum is the range of all possible frequencies of electromagnetic radiation, from a wavelength of 0.1 angstroms to 1,000 meters. Within this spectrum is the visible light range, from approximately 380 nanometers to 720 nanometers. Review question. Question: what is the electromagnetic spectrum? Answer: the electromagnetic spectrum is the range of all possible frequencies of electromagnetic radiation, from a wavelength of 0.1 angstroms to 1,000 meters. Within this spectrum is the visible light range, from approximately 380 nanometers to 720 nanometers. Another key topic in the AP Physics exam is atomic physics. The study of atoms in isolated systems and the atomic nucleus is known as atomic physics. The photoelectric effect was discovered by Heinrich Hertz and later explained by Albert Einstein. The photoelectric effect is the emission of electrons from matter, either metal or nonmetal, in response to the absorption of electromagnetic radiation, such as light. Within multi-electron atoms, such as helium, there can be different energy levels for its electrons, and these can be described with an atomic energy level diagram. Electrons can be in a ground state or, under the right conditions, an excited state. Nuclear physics. The study of the interactions of atomic nuclei is the subject of nuclear physics. Early studies, including those with radium and the discovery of the neutron, are the early steps of the field of nuclear physics. When two nuclei or nuclear particles collide, a nuclear reaction can take place. In a nuclear reaction, the total energy is conserved, and the types of reactions include fusion reactions, which can lead to a thermonuclear explosion, and fission reactions. Mass-energy equivalence can be described with Einstein's equation E equals mc squared. The equation states that energy equals mass times the speed of light squared. Due to the fact that the speed of light is a massive number, even a small amount of matter contains a very large amount of energy. Review question. Question: what is the photoelectric effect? Answer: the photoelectric effect was discovered by Heinrich Hertz and later explained by Albert Einstein. The photoelectric effect is the emission of electrons from matter, either metal or nonmetal, in response to the absorption of electromagnetic radiation, such as light. Now we'll move on to discuss the topic of how to study AP physics. First, connect topics together. Building on what you know is a major goal of education. As part of your studying, connect new topics to things you already know. Use a concept map to connect the ideas and information. Then, apply such an understanding to problem solving. Effective techniques for studying and learning are: number one, if you have trouble understanding the material, ask questions, either in class, before or after class, or during office hours. Don't let these burning questions go unanswered and pile up. Remember, there is no stupid question. Number two, partner with someone who is taking the same test and study together or form a study group to help and motivate one another. Focus on the concepts and the connections. Everything may not make sense all at once. Focusing on the concepts and how these concepts fit into the big picture will help you succeed in AP Physics. In physics, often the question will be based on the actual concept as opposed to the overall action. Problem solving is a major part of any physics course and exam. What is problem solving? One way to think about what problem solving is that you have a beginning, you are here, and you need to get there. To get there, you go through a problem-solving strategy. Problem-solving is needed in every aspect of physics: labs and investigations, practice problems, exams, and any time you apply concepts to different situations. Let's discuss an example problem. An 800-kilogram roller coaster is moving at a speed of 15 meters per second. Determine the kinetic energy. Remember, kinetic energy is the energy of motion. If an object has motion, it has kinetic energy. You need to choose the correct formula that will provide the information being asked. To calculate kinetic energy, we will use E subscript k equals 1/2 mv squared. For this problem, E subscript k equals 0.5 times the mass of the roller coaster, 800 kilograms, times its speed, which is 15 meters per second squared. The answer is 90,000 joules of kinetic energy. One of the most important tips for studying for AP Physics is practice, practice, practice. Practice physics problems to enhance what you learn and the connections. Do the full-length practice test to familiarize yourself with the AP format. Be persistent until you answer the question yourself. Resist the temptation, when you're stumped by a question, to look at the solution. Now let's discuss some test preparation strategies. The following is a four-step process to successfully study and prepare for the AP Physics exam. Number one is to manage your time. Use your time wisely. Number two is to understand the concepts you're studying or learning about. Number three is to practice problems. By doing practice problems, you will learn or understand the concepts in a better way. And number four, review efficiently. Reviewing efficiently feeds back into time management. Another tip is forward planning. In other words, plan ahead. Set a study schedule. Set aside some time slots every day to study. Do not put off your study schedule. You need to practice every day in the coming weeks and months as you prepare for the exam. Long-term study goals. Some students incorrectly believe that if they study more as the test date approaches, they'll remember more. Building long-term memory by studying in set doses ahead of time increases memory and the understanding of concepts. If you cram too much information and make yourself nervous the night before the exam, you might get into what's called mental indigestion. Another useful tip for test preparation are the use of study aids. Choose and use the following aids to help you study. Cheat sheet. A cheat sheet can be used at home as a summary of what you've learned. It should include key terms and concepts. Flashcards. Flashcards are very good for practicing and learning. Flashcards are index cards with a question on one side and the answer on the other side, and they allow you the opportunity to test yourself. Now let's move on to discuss some test-taking strategies. The following are test-taking tips. First, know the basic layout of the test before you take it. Then plan your attack the minute the test begins. Use focusing techniques to improve your score and apply techniques to eliminate incorrect answers. Some tips for the test day itself. To prepare for the test day, arrive early and come prepared. Double-check the time and location of the test. At home, have a backup alarm clock just in case. And arrive at least 15 minutes early for the test. It's also important to know the test format. Learn as much as you can about the test before actually taking it. By the time you take the exam, you should have memorized the instructions and memorized how the test proceeds. Know the number of questions in each section and the time allotted for each section. Know what types of questions are in each section. Plan your attack. Spend at least 30 seconds going through the questions at the beginning of a section. Pace yourself. Use your watch. After making a mental note of the halfway point and when you should be there. Set a time limit for each question. To do this, divide the total time allowed by the number of test questions to estimate the time limit per question. A good limit is about 1 or 2 minutes to answer each question. Here are some specific multiple choice exam question tips. Don't waste time on any one question. The difficulty does increase in general, but you may be more familiar with some of the later topics. The test is written so that you won't know everything. Don't waste time on questions that are obviously ones you have not studied. Move on and come back to them if there's time at the end. There's no longer any guessing penalty in AP tests, so do not skip any questions. No points are awarded for answers left blank. You will always get the wrong answer if you don't fill in any choice, so take an educated guess. Answer all questions. You'll be rewarded. The mathematics requirements for AP Physics B. The AP Physics test will draw on your mathematical skills as a tool to solve problems, not as a test of your math abilities. To prepare for this test, you need to review algebra, geometry, and trigonometry. For algebra, review problems including solving for unknown variables, such as in the following question. 46 equals 47 plus minus 1x. Review the knowledge of basics, proportion basics, and combining similar terms, as well as exponents of variables. A general knowledge of geometry is required for this test, including angles, perpendicular lines, distance, area, and volume formulas. Also, trigonometry knowledge is required to solve problems that involve trigonometric functions. Also in the multiple choice section of the exam, there are no calculators allowed. As there are no calculators allowed during the multiple choice section, you need to get comfortable ahead of time with doing simple calculations without a calculator. For example, simple multiplication and division including decimals. Look for cancellations to simplify your calculations and calculate with scientific notation. Although calculators cannot be used for multiple choice questions, they can be used during the free response questions. In the free response section, graphing and programmable calculators are permitted, although devices such as a PowerBook, Palm, or PDA are prohibited. The format of the multiple choice exam. The exam is divided into multiple choice and free response. The multiple choice questions are designed to test concepts and applications. The basic definitions and principles of physics will be included. Included in the exam packet is a table of information and equations. Now, due to the fact that calculators are not permitted during the multiple choice questions, the calculations required to answer certain questions will be simple and sometimes involve estimation. In the free response section or essay answers, remember, show your work. Show all your work in this section. The readers or graders of the exam are not allowed to assume that you know something. Make it clear that you know it by showing it. Show the equation you're going to use and the numbers plugged into the equation. Give your answer including units and the correct significant figures. The equation sheet. During the free response, you can use the equation sheet. The AP exam gives you an equation sheet for both Physics B and Physics C exams, and they can be downloaded from their website. Becoming familiar with this document and using it throughout your course at school will be helpful when it comes time to take the exam. Here's a free response example question. In an airbag test, an 80 kilogram crash test dummy hits a stationary airbag. The velocity of the crash test dummy at the instant of impact is 20 meters per second. After 0.2 seconds, the test dummy has come to a complete stop and the airbag has deflated. Question part A. What is the relationship between the average force and momentum in this problem? And question part B. What approximately is the average force on the test dummy during this time interval? The average force is equal in magnitude to the change in the momentum of the crash test dummy divided by the elapsed time. To answer the average force question, you need to calculate the average force using the formula average force equals mass times the change in velocity divided by the change in time. This gives the average force equals 80 kilograms times 20 meters per second divided by the change in time, which is 0.20 seconds, giving an average force of 8,000 newtons. Another important tip is to choose the best answer. Review all the answers before you choose one. There might be more than one correct answer. However, make sure you choose the best answer as your final one. Let's discuss an example. Here's a question. Which of the following statements best defines Newton's first law? A. That every object is in motion. B. Every object continues in motion in a straight line. C. Object motion is not affected by its surroundings. D. Once an object is in motion, it will continue in motion until acted upon by an outside force. Or E. Answers A and B are both correct. While choice B is part of Newton's first law, what's missing is the fact that the motion will continue until an outside force acts upon the object to change its motion. Therefore, D was the best answer for this question. Here's a review question. What are two tips for the multiple choice section of the exam reviewed in this tutorial? Answer. Number one, as there's no calculator allowed during the multiple choice section of the exam, you need to get comfortable with doing simple calculations without a calculator. And number two, scan all the choices before selecting one. More than one answer might be correct, but you need to choose the best answer. Another tip for the free response or essay is to answer the whole question, including each subpart. However, don't give extraneous information to show everything you know about a topic. It won't get you any more points. Also, as extra information is given, the odds of including an incorrect statement increase. You can spend so much time writing everything you know, you might miss answering the actual question. And one of the most important tips are to reread and proofread. After you've written your essay answer, reread each question and sub-question to ensure you've answered everything and not missed a part. And then once you're satisfied you've completely answered the questions and any sub-questions, proofread your answers. This will ensure you actually wrote what you intended to write and prevent unnecessary mistakes. The following is a free response scoring guide based on the AP guidelines. For free response questions, there's space provided to write your answer and show your work or justification for each part of the question. It's very important you show all your work to get full credit. Also, any errors must be completely erased. There's no credit given for crossed out work, even if it was correct. Credit for the answers in this section of the test depends on the quality and completeness of the responses. Partial credit can be awarded for partial solutions. And remember, a correct answer without supportive work may actually lose credit. This is especially true for questions that ask you to justify the solution or answer. The points for each part of a free response question are clearly stated. Here's a free response grading example. The plate on the bottom of a microwave specifies that it should be connected to 110 volts and will draw 6,000 milliamps. Question part A. What is the net resistance of the microwave? This is worth 2 points. And part B, if the voltage dropped to 90 volts, how would the current change? This is also worth 2 points. In order to get full credit for part A, you must correctly rearrange Ohm's law to calculate the resistance. Also, a point would be awarded for converting milliamps in the information given to amps. Rearranging Ohm's law, resistance equals voltage divided by current. Resistance equals 110 volts divided by 6 amps, which equals a resistance of 18.33 ohms. Now for part B of this question, you must correctly substitute the resistance you calculated in A into the equation for current. Current equals voltage divided by resistance. And for this problem, current equals 90 volts divided by 18.33 ohms, which equals 4.9 amps. Remember, recognize what's being asked and what each part of the free response question requires in order to obtain full credit. Here are some tips for obtaining full credit on free response questions. Read the problem carefully. Be sure you understand exactly what's being asked and how to do the problem. Be sure to include all the necessary steps for solving the problem so a complete answer is given. Also, keep an eye on the time. It's easy to lose track of time, and if you find yourself spending too much time on any one part, you'll have to skip it and come back to it later. And when you encounter a question that asks you to justify your answer or determine something, remember, these words have precise meanings. When these questions are marked, you need to include equations, diagrams, or graphs to support your answer and get full credit. Summary. The following is a summary of what you have learned in this tutorial. Advanced Placement, or AP Physics, is a college general physics course offered to high school students. An exam is taken at the end to obtain college credit. A wave is a periodic disturbance through which the sound or water wave travels. Waves can lead to reflection, refraction, interference, and dispersion. The photoelectric effect was discovered by Heinrich Hertz and later explained by Albert Einstein. Electrostatics is the study of a stationary or slowly moving electric charge. In this study, Coulomb's law is a mathematical description of the electric force between objects. As there is no calculator allowed during the multiple choice section of the AP Physics exam, you need to get comfortable with doing simple calculations without a calculator. Congratulations on completing the Introduction to AP Physics B audio tutorial. For more audio and visual tutorials in chemistry, biology, physics, and math, go to www.rapidlearningcenter.com. Thank you.